Good morning and welcome to this week's podcast on the 19th Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. May Christ, the true and only light, banish all darkness from our hearts and minds. Blessed are you, sovereign God, creator of all. To you be glory and praise for ever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time you made us in your image, and in these last days you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God for ever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and for ever. Amen. Reading from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me, and are so far from my salvation, from the words of my distress? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer, and by night also, but I find no rest. Yet you are the Holy One, enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Our forebears trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They put their trust in you and were not confounded. But as for me, I am a worm and no man, scorned by all and despised by the people. All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips and wag their head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delights in him." But it is you that took me out of the womb and laid me safe upon my mother's breast. On you was I cast ever since I was born. You are my God, even from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near at hand, and there is none to help. Mighty oxen come around me, fat bulls of Bashan close me in on every side. They gape upon me with their mouths, as it were a ramping and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, all my bones are out of joint. My heart has become like wax, melting in the depths of my body. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, my tongue cleaves to my gums. You have laid me in the dust of death. Reading from Hebrews chapter 4. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who, in every respect, has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Reading from Mark chapter 10. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, the man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had so many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Who can then be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Thanks be to God. The man ran and knelt before Jesus. What is your main aim today? I wonder how often you ponder that question. It's famously quoted that the unreflected life is not worth living. It's an ancient saying, probably meant to make us stop rushing around and to think about the meaning of life. I quote it because it's not from the Bible, though it doesn't take much thought to see that the Psalms, the prophets, and so on are often about such self-reflection. Stopping to reflect is necessary in church, for the church. But psychologically, we find that being busy helps avoid confronting things we'd rather not face. Why do people come to church? I never forget the story of someone who stopped going to a church because there were too many people. They found a smaller one. I mention this because you so often hear it said in churches that we need more people. But those two things don't add up, do they? The surprise is that for most people, the size of a church is unimportant. What they measure a church by is whether they find support and friendship from others in the congregation, a church that cares. People are unable to stay away from a church if it's open-hearted and welcoming. All other statistics fade away because word spreads about a loving church, and people are naturally drawn in. They can't but help find it attractive. It was lovely this week to hear from someone who travelled quite far to attend St Andrew's, and the reason was the encouragement they received from a couple of other people in the church week by week. They were the main reason for this person returning here. This is a very instructive experience to take note of. Returning to self-reflection, there is a tradition in the Church of England to experience silent retreat. This kind of activity can be useful in that deeper questions begin to surface in the silence that we are too busy to think about otherwise. On such a retreat, I asked the spiritual director, how can we develop Christian maturity and dignity? The answer was not some great feat to do, but very simple, daily, basic Christian prayer and thinking. And isn't that exactly how Jesus teaches? And what about the recent epistles? No complicated theories, simply to love your neighbour, to be generous and kind, to be honest and forgiving, and so on. These are not complex, though we may find them difficult sometimes, so tricky perhaps, but not rocket science, not impossible. So as we climb out of COVID, let's encourage one another with the basic Christian behaviours, the kind of thing that would find newcomers coming back to receive. This is particularly important at this time because we hear that COVID is leaving a lot of negativity in the air, and we have to combat this with much more encouragement to one another. The man we read of today, who ran up to Jesus and knelt to ask this key question, received an answer he was not keen to take on board. He thought he observed all the basics, and yet distractions had clouded his outlook. What, I wonder, may be clouding our outlook? What do you think Jesus might be saying to us if he were to answer this same question from our perspective today? Let's pause for a moment in silence to reflect on that. If we were that man, what must we do to discover the fullness of life? It's a good question. How would Jesus reply to us? Perhaps you'd like to pause for a moment, though I will leave some silence. We may feel the same as this man sometimes. He was sorrowful. And notice, he was alone. However, we have committed ourselves to each other as a community. We encourage each other by doing these basic Christian actions to stay on track. And forgiving is a church characteristic, as together we draw one another back in and along the path. It's not for nothing that Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." As the recent epistles have been teaching, let us not sow discord, but be protective of the spiritual growth that can so easily be trampled on in an active church fellowship. So to receive spiritual blessing then, as this man sought, it often requires physical action. Generosity in giving seems to have a payback in the spiritual realm. Perhaps it's not surprising. This man missed that. What do you think his priorities might have been? Perhaps to forgive others, a key teaching, was not a priority. But how can a church become more like that? Perhaps to give to the poor, another key teaching, may not have been his priority. But again, how can a church become more like that? And maybe to be inclusive, a key teaching, may not have been part of his scheme of generosity. How can a church become more like that? Such teachings are key to us as we climb out of COVID. The irony is that all these actions about blessing others actually lead to us being blessed ourselves. And there don't seem to be any shortcuts apart from this generosity in giving and forgiving. The man in our story thought he was on the right track, but Jesus asks more probing questions and hits the nail on the head for him. Sadly, he went away grieving. Perhaps Jesus was not as important to him as he had thought. So, today, let us focus once again on being a blessing to others as we give and forgive. That would seem to summarize our Bible lesson today. That's what makes a church beautiful to God. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Collect for this, the 19th Sunday after Trinity. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases, whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love new every morning. In Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless us and preserve us from all evil, and keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.